Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Pressured. Wolf right. Sack. He is sacked. It is Kyle Williams who brings him down at the 15-yard line.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Today, we're going to get player feedback from the locker room, get Joe B's perspective from the sideline yesterday, and get a recap of the Bills-Jets game today on the John Murphy Show.
Brought to you by Northwest Savings Bank. It's time to make the switch to Northwest. Chance Smoke Shops, hitting you between the uprights, now open 24 hours. And by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York, the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills reminds you, healthy changes everything.
This place is pandemonium.
10-yard line, 5 into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis Berman.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here we go, the Monday edition of the John Murphy Show. Monday mornings after Bills games, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. That's where we're at right now, and that's where we're going to be until 12 noon. And then tonight, 7 o'clock, replay some of this show and give you the latest updates from One Bills Drive, 7 to 8 o'clock. And then, of course, it's Monday Night Football. Good evening. Thanks for coming on the air. Thanks for listening is what I'm trying to say. The Bills coming off a terrible loss to the New York Jets, bruised, battered, and in general, a game that was not even as close as the score indicated. We're going to get to your calls in a moment, talking about your thoughts on the Bills game against the New York Jets. What went right? If you can find something. I had a hard time. I was asked that question this morning. What went right? You know, they did compete, which is, you know, baseline. That's what you're supposed to do in the NFL. They hung in there thanks to some the Jets taking 20 penalties and had a chance in the fourth quarter to win it, even though nothing really was going well. The defense giving up big chunks of yardage, the offense stalling, not getting the running game going, not connecting on the pass plays they needed to connect on, the rookie quarterback looking confused and befuddled by the defensive looks he was shown by the New York Jets. All of that going against them, and yet there they were, 10.5 minutes to go in the game in a tie ball game. I think that's maybe the positive to take from it. Again, you're supposed to compete right down the stretch, and the Bills did that yesterday. And adding injury to insult, they took a lot of hits on the injury front yesterday. The locker room is open right now. We were down there a moment ago, and we talked a little bit with E.J. Manuel, but some of the other players have talked, including C.J. Spiller, who left the game, did not play much in the second half with a knee injury. And Spiller told reporters right now he is day-to-day with a knee injury. He says he will test his knee. He said it's not that serious, Spiller said. He said he told reporters, we're going to hear some of his comments later on. He says he's a little sore, couldn't get any power, and he said he had to swallow his pride and sit. He says he is feeling sore today, but he is not anticipating this week against the Baltimore Ravens. So that is very good news from C.J. Spiller. We wait to hear on the other injuries of note yesterday, including Mario Williams, who apparently, I didn't see him after the game, apparently limped out of the locker room. Some people said he appeared to be injured. Marcell Dareus left the game with an ankle injury. We'll get an update from him. Maybe not on this show. It might have to wait until Doug Marrone later in the day. Alex Carrington left the game with his left knee injury. And what else? Leotis McKelvin left the game with a hamstring injury, and plus all the other guys who were already injured going into the game. Craig Urbick managed to gut it out and finish the game with his injury. Very, very tough afternoon for the Bills in the Meadowlands of New Jersey. Coming up on the show, we'll replay some of the highlights of the game, the Bills and the Jets, and that's coming up momentarily. We'll talk with some of the players. We'll get a player. We're searching for either Scott Chandler to be with us or maybe Manny Lawson. We'll take either one. That's coming up later on this hour. Joe Biscaglia will join us with his view from the sideline at 11:30. And, of course, your phone call is a big part of the show today. The John Murphy Show, daytime version, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Let's start today with John in Florida. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Gunner.
Hey, you're on the air, John.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, Murph. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. I had to call. I'm so tired of hearing everybody slamming poor EJ. The kid is a rookie. He spent one out of every three plays on his butt.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear enough about the offensive line and the scheme that to protect him? Where was all of that? That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the focus is always going to be on the quarterback. It is, as you point out, a rookie quarterback. I don't think EJ played well yesterday, and I don't think EJ saw the field the way he needs to yesterday. And, you know, there were plays to be made that they just couldn't make, and his throws were off the mark pretty regularly. Obviously, the result of a lot of the pressure that he faced. So all of that being said, there were other issues as well. Receivers making the proper adjustments, receivers getting off the jam at the line of scrimmage, pass protection. And you know what the biggest problem, I think, with the Bills' offense yesterday was the inability to run the ball against a tough run defense, but they weren't able to run the ball. If you take away Fred Jackson's long 59-yard run, they didn't do anything in the running game yesterday. And that's a problem, I think a major problem. Michael in Georgia, you're on the air. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you doing, John?
Good.
Good, good. Yeah, I was, again, I'll remind you this, the day they drafted EJ, I called that night. I'm going to just call myself, because we talked about EJ crying, I'll just call myself Crybaby Michael, okay?
Okay.
I remember. But anyhow, look, what I wanted to point out is that, similar to what the gentleman just said before, you know, people, if they remember back to the Buffalo's favorite quarterback, Jim Kelly, he came in out of the USFL. He had about 2 or 3 years experience there, was it, John?
2 or 3, yeah, yes.
Okay. Did he have some struggles when he first came
Absolutely.
Into the NFL?
Yeah, he did, sure.
I sure remember. You know, I remember a key game when they were driving down the field and toward the end of the game, and he threw a critical interception, and Buffalo had a chance to win. They lost the game, and I remember Kelly just kind of smiled at the camera, and the commentator on TV said, you know, he's indicating, I'm going to be back, and I'm going to do it right next time.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, you know, I agree. EJ had a tough day. He was sacked a lot, under a lot of pressure. It's his third NFL game. Still didn't throw any picks, which is pretty impressive.
Right.
But, I mean, let's give the guy a little chance to grow and develop. You know, we can go back to so many great quarterbacks. There's exceptions like Tom Brady and Dan Marino that came out, you know, firing and didn't have bad games in the beginning. But we can look at a lot of great quarterbacks like John Elway. I mean, the guy really was horrible for the, I think, his first year or two. He had a lot of problems. And, you know, you know, it happens, but I think that this guy's got a lot of character, and I really think that he's going to grow from this.
All right, I agree with you, Michael, and you got to keep in mind that he is a rookie, and there are growing pains associated with rookies. You're right about Kelly coming in with a couple of years' experience in the USFL. Kelly early on had a propensity for late game interceptions that would kill the Bills' chances to win. And as you say, EJ has not shown that yet, but he wasn't making plays yesterday. A difficult day. He looked a lot like a rookie yesterday, a rookie under siege from a pretty good defense and a very good defensive scheme. All that being said, he is a rookie, and there will be growing pains. Let's hope that that's the worst of it for EJ Manuel. It's hard to imagine it gets much worse for him, but who knows? I mean, we're in it for the long haul, I think. Bills fans are, you know, let this rookie grow. Let's see how it turns out. We're going to make time for more phone calls. We're going to have Aaron Williams, Bills. What is he now? Cornerback, safety. He'll be live with us in studio in about 15 minutes. But we got to take a look back, as we do every Monday, at the game yesterday. The Bills and the Jets are game rewind. And it highlights from MetLife Stadium on a beautiful day, 67 degrees, sunny skies. The Jets took the opening kickoff and were able to convert some big third downs, including 3rd and 7 on their own 23-yard line.
Out of the shotgun, Geno takes the snap, stands in the pocket, flings it downfield. He's got Hill open, makes the catch on the Buffalo side of midfield, and he's pushed out of bounds. A huge play for the Jets on 3rd and 7. Smith plants his right foot, looks downfield, fires downfield, caught at the 27-yard line, and spinning forward is Jeremy Curley. He brought down at the Buffalo 19. That is a first down. A 20-yard pickup on 3rd and 17. Here's 3rd and 3 from the Buffalo 14. Smith takes the shotgun snap, looks to his left, guns it that way. It is caught for a first down, and he's brought down at the 7-yard line. The shotgun snap. Smith going to run it on the quarterback keeper inside the 5, heads down near the goal line, and he gets in. Touchdown, New York.
Quarterback draw for Geno Smith, 7-0. The Jets lead after their opening possession of the game, and that's the way it went until the second quarter. The Bills had the football late in the first quarter, final play of the first quarter. They had a 3rd and 1 at their own 20-yard line.
Snap and a handoff goes to Fred Jackson, trying to drive up the middle. He does, still on his feet. Fred on the run at the 40, at midfield. Jets trying to track him down at the Jets 40, at the 30, at the 25, and he is caught and brought down at the New York 21-yard line. What second effort for Fred Jackson. He goes 59 yards over the right side. So it is a field goal attempt. It is a 37-yarder for Dan Carpenter from the left hash. The snap is good. The kick is on the way. It is up, and it is good. And the Bills are on the scoreboard.
Fred Jackson's 59-yard run led to that field goal, and Jackson's run took them right onto the edge of the Hunt Real Estate red zone. And they were unable to do anything once they got down there except field goals. Jets got the ball back again, and the Bills made a pretty big play defensively.
Smith takes it. Flag goes down as he fires down the middle looking for Holmes. It is intercepted. Jimmy Leonard has it at the Buffalo 45. Turns around at the Jets 40, and he gets to the Jets 35-yard line before they bring him down.
Personal foul, face mask. That penalty will be enforced from the end of the run after the interception.
The interception stands. Jimmy Leonard's first interception this time around with the Buffalo Bills, and tack on 15 yards as well. It's a 23-yard field goal attempt for Dan Carpenter. Powell the holder, Sanborn the snapper. The snap is good. Kick is up, and the kick is good. So three more points. 3 points the result of that Jim Leonard interception.
And it was 7-6, the Jets on top of the Bills. But the Jets, as they did all day, were able to bite out big chunks of yardage. They got the ball back again. They had a 2nd and 5 near midfield.
Shotgun snap. Smith takes it, looking deep, looking for Hill, doing battle with Rodgers. Makes the catch at the 20, at the 10, 5. Touchdown, Stephen Hill. He and Justin Rodgers pushing and shoving down the near sideline. Hill won the battle and got the touchdown for the New York Jets.
14-6, the Jets lead at a 51-yard touchdown play to Sean Hill. Bills ball back again later on in the second quarter, 5.5 minutes left to play, and they had a 2nd down at their own 30-yard line.
Play action fake. Manuel stands in the pocket, fires, got a man wide open, caught by Woods at the 45, at the Jets 40, down the right sideline at the 30, and he is shoved out of bounds just inside the Jets 30-yard line. Well, they mark him way upfield. I guess he stepped out of bounds at, what, the 41-yard line, Mark? It is 3rd and 1. The Bills have it at the Jets 32. Manuel takes, hands it off. Fred Jackson is cut down before he can get to the line of scrimmage. Drop for a 1-yard loss. 4th and 2 from the Jets 33. EJ in the shotgun. The snap. Going to throw it. Pressured. Ducks underneath it. Still pressured and sacked. Back at the 37-yard line. The Jets celebrating like it's Christmas.
And the Jets were able to get a late field goal in the second quarter. And they were up 17-6 at the half. The Bills still not in the end zone. Jets took over in the third quarter with a drive start at their own 20-yard line.
Geno Smith hands it off to Powell, and Powell finds a seam up the middle at the 25, at the 30, and finally hauled down by Jimmy Leonard at the 40-yard line. Just like that, a 20-yard burst up the middle by Bilal Powell. 3rd and 12, Jets from their own 39-yard line. Smith stands there, pumps once, fires downfield looking for Holmes, and he makes the catch at the Buffalo 25, brought down at the Buffalo 21-yard line. A huge play on 3rd down. He got by Justin Rodgers on a ball that hung in the air for an eternity. So it sets up a 34-yard field goal attempt for Nick Folk, who made a 47-yarder to end the first half. This one from the right hash towards the northeast end zone. The snap is good, the kick is on the way, and it is good. And the Jets tack on another 3.
They were up 14 points, 20-6, with 9 minutes left in the third quarter. The Bills' next possession, they were looking at 3rd and 1 at their own 29-yard line.
Here's EJ on the read option. Right side has room at the 35, at the 40. And he tiptoes out of bounds at the 46-yard line. EJ Manuel gets 18 yards on the read option run to the right side. Manuel out of the shotgun, lofts it left side, looking for TJ Graham. A hand fight there, lots of contact, and no flag.
Yes,
incomplete.
There is a flag.
Defense. Ball will be placed. Spot of the foul. First down.
A minute ago, I said no more field goals now. We'll take one. 43-yard attempt for Dan Carpenter from the left hash. The kick is up. The kick is on the way, and the kick is good.
And it is 20-9. The Jets on top of the Bills in the third quarter, late in the third quarter. The Bills getting some momentum, and it was helped along by a pretty big defensive play.
Geno Smith looks to his left, fires that way, picked off, intercepted. It is picked off by the Bills. It is Kiko Alonso, cuts to the middle at the 20, at the 15, and brought down at the 12-yard line. Kiko, almost like last week's interception, Mark, he stepped right in front of it.
2 interceptions in 2 games for Kiko Alonso. The Bills turned that one into a 26-yard field goal by Dan Carpenter. Alonso's play makes him the advanced alarm defensive player of the game. Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, and the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. They go to the fourth quarter. The Bills down by 8 points, a score of 20-12, and Buffalo has the football at their own 24-yard line, 3rd and 6.
Out of the shotgun, Manuel the snap, fires down the seam, incomplete for Stevie, and a flag thrown there.
Legal contact, 5-yard penalty, automatic first down.
Wow. EJ takes the snap, looks down the middle, fires left side. It is caught by Stevie Johnson up at the 47-yard line. And Kyle Wilson spills him down, and there's another flag. They got to get Kyle Wilson out of the game. Either throw him out by the officials, or Rex Ryan's got to give him a seat. Shotgun snap. Manuel has a pocket. Fires downfield. Chandler wide open. Makes a catch at the 20, at the 10, at the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Scott Chandler, 33 yards from E.J. Manuel.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, E.J. did a great job hanging on me. They tried to bang me at the line a little bit, and then, you know, there's a big void. And, you know, I was able to run, tried to make a little move on the guy. You know, my moves aren't as good as they used to be or something. But, you know, I was able to stay up and get in the end zone.
And he will go for two. The snap. E.J. going to throw, fires over the middle, caught by Stevie. He's got it. Two-point conversion successful.
That tied it up, 20 apiece, and Scott Chandler's play, the UPS store delivery of the game. Visit the UPS stores of Western New York, your one-stop shop for all your small business needs. For their locations, visit theupsstore.com. So the Bills tied it up, 20 apiece, 10.5 minutes left in the game. But the Jets make another huge play, first and 15 from their own 31-yard line.
Back to throw, looking deep down the right side, looking for Holmes, and he makes the catch at the 35. It's a tackle at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Santonio Holmes. Touchdown Jets, 69 yards.
You know, everyone's going after, you know, our secondary, and, you know, we just have to do a good job, and, you know, we're trying to change things up, you know, for him coverage-wise and pressure and do that to try to keep the quarterback, you know, thinking. But, you know, hey, when they bring the pressure, block them all up, and, you know, they went one-on-one, it's just the point of, you know, we didn't make those plays.
Doug Marrone on the holes in the Buffalo secondary, a 69-yard touchdown pass from Geno Smith to Santonio Holmes. We're going to call that this week's New York State Smokers Quitline Game Changer. For help to quit smoking, with most smokers qualifying for free nicotine patches, call the New York State Smokers Quitline at 1-866-NY-QUITS or go to nysmokefree.com. 27-20, the Jets on top. Last chance for the Bills, and they got the ball back at their own 28-yard line with a first down there, 2:44 left on the clock.
Manuel waits in the pocket, fires to the near side, caught by Scott Chandler, and he steps out of bounds at the 40-yard line. There's a gain of 12 yards on first down. Here we go. Second and 6 from the 44, the snap. Manuel waiting, pressure, sack. Back at the 35-yard line, Muhammad Wilkerson brought him down. Third and 24 from their own 26, the snap. Jets rush 4. E.J. stands down there, fires downfield. It is caught by Chandler, and he steps out of bounds at the 43-yard line. So they got some of it back there. Here we go, 4th and 7 from the 43. Manuel, shotgun snap, quick pass down the far sideline, looking for Woods. He gets tangled up with the defensive back. It is incomplete. And so the Bills turn it over on downs. And with a minute 43 to play, the Bills now need a miracle. 2 timeouts left.
And the miracle would be not forthcoming for the Bills. They got the ball back again, though, after the Jets punted late in the fourth quarter.
Kick is in the air. Leonard's going to let it drop. Bounces at the 7. And the Jets are there to down it at the 1-yard line.
Can it get any worse? Yes, it apparently can.
Manuel working under center, standing in the end zone as he takes the snap. Back to throw. Waits. Fires down the middle. Caught by Fred Jackson at the 10. Trying to get to the sidelines. He cannot make it. Cut down by Kyle Williams at the 10-yard line. It'll be a third down and about a yard to go. And the clock runs on. 2 seconds. 1 second. Manuel tries to spike it to stop it, but it doesn't matter. The game is over.
We didn't make plays when we had the opportunity. You know, and because of that, we came up short. You know, but all we got to do, we can't hang our heads. You know, got to continue to work and, you know, push and get through this.
Fred Jackson talking about the defeat. 27-20 the final. The Bills drop to 1-2. The Jets get the win over Buffalo. They go to 2-1. The rewind of the highlights. Got to call them highlights, even when they're not very high. Highlights of yesterday's game. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get back to your phone calls, and we're going to hear from Aaron Williams, Bills safety turned cornerback in yesterday's game. We're going to see where that's going with Aaron Williams when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live this morning from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Monday edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. John Murphy in the studio. Joining us, defensive back, cornerback, safety, Aaron Williams. I don't know what this bump music is. Apparently, it strikes a chord with you, Aaron. What are we listening to?
I have no idea. I don't know the name.
Russ, can you help us out?
It's called Sweet Nothing.
Yeah, Sweet Nothing.
It's Calvin Harris.
Calvin Harris.
Yeah, yeah. You guys going out clubbing later, the two of you. That'll be good. Hey, Aaron, thanks for coming by. I know it's a busy day and a rough day. It's got to be kind of a bad atmosphere. As much as the fans feel it on a Monday after a loss like that, I'm sure it's much worse in the locker room today.
Oh, yeah, huh? It's 2 times worse, but, you know, 24-hour rule. We're going to moan and complain, and then tomorrow get ready for Baltimore.
So when does that 24 hours end? Because I'm looking forward to that. When can we put this behind
my 24
it?
Hours, well, is already over with.
Is it?
When I walked in the building, it's time to get ready for a new week. Can't dread on the pass.
Tell me about, let's talk a little bit about yesterday's game, and it was very early in the game when you found yourself back at your old familiar corner spot. Yeah. You mentioned to me in the locker room you had not taken reps at corner in a while?
Not taken reps since last season. I mean, I forced myself to take reps during the training camp.
Yeah, I remember that.
Just so I wouldn't get rusty at it. But ever since training camp, I haven't taken any snaps at corner.
And why, I mean, again, you do what they tell you to do, but why do you think that was the move they made?
I honestly couldn't tell you why. You have to talk to Mike about it. And, you know, you really don't ask questions when your name's called. You're not going to argue on the sideline, especially during the game time like that, in a special situation like that. I just knew I had to get my corner mentality back and just do the best I could.
What's the difference mentality-wise, safety to corner? What did you have to adjust to?
Just knowing the cornerback rules, knowing the responsibilities for what our scheme has for the cornerbacks, and really just – really lock your man up and really just cover your cat the whole way as best you can.
And who did you see, the receiver? You were up against Holmes a couple of times? Were you up against Curly?
I saw all of them.
All of them?
Yeah, Curly, from Curly to Holmes to 84.
Yeah, Hill.
Yeah, Hill. Yeah.
They hit deep plays against the secondary. I mean, you guys are down now. Liotis was out. You were without Stephon Gilmore. You were without Jairus Byrd. But just talk about the back end of the defense and what you saw back there and how the Jets were able to hit the deep passes.
We really pretty much just gave them one. To be honest, Justin did a great job of being in the right position. And, you know, it's funny that this happened because I told Justin last night, I said, hey, man, I've been through this a lot coming from last year. I know how he feels. I know that it hurts and it's painful to have a performance like that, knowing that you play the last 2 weeks great. You know, sometimes you're going to have those weeks where you just got to kind of try to find a way to make a play. And unfortunately, Justin just had one of those weeks. And, you know, I have his back. I know how he's feeling. It's the worst feeling in the world to let – you feel like you let your team down, especially in a close game like that. But, you know, I told Justin, get over it. It's a long season. Got to get ready for next week, and we can't let you dread on this. Can't have your confidence down, because I know firsthand if your confidence is down, it's going to be a long year for you.
Aaron, you have a pretty good big picture of this defense. I mean, you played safety and corner in this defense now, and you played in other defenses as well here with the Buffalo Bills. Does this defense put a lot of pressure on corners to play one-on-one, to stay with your guys?
No question about it. We really emphasize our corners to really do a job. We put a lot of stress on them. If you're going to be a cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, we really got to trust in you and knowing that you're going to do your job and handle your cat. You know, pretty much man to man the whole game. It's really one on one, mano a mano, to see who's the best. And you know, I still have faith in all the cornerbacks we have, through Liotis to Justin to Brandon Burton to Johnny Adams, everybody. It doesn't matter who we have. I have utmost confidence in our guys.
But it's a pressure, and it's, you know, guys who haven't played quite a bit. I mean, Justin's got a couple of years' experience in the league, but some of the other names you mentioned are rookies or newcomers to this roster.
Yeah. Brandon's his third year.
Yeah.
And he has good experience, and Johnny, yeah, he's a new kid. But at the same time, we go against receivers every week. We go against Stevie Johnson, who's probably the quickest and off the line in this league. We have the two most fastest guys, Marquise and TJ, and have a great athletic guy like Robert Woods, and you know, guys like Chris Hogan, who was open 24/7 out of nowhere. So you know, when you go against guys like that every week, there's no reason why Sunday should be much easier.
Talking with Aaron Williams, Bills defensive back. We're talking about yesterday's Bills Jets game as Aaron joins us in studio for a couple of more minutes. Geno Smith, who has a reputation of having a big arm, certainly is not afraid to chuck it downfield. I mean, they really do force you to cover the entire field the way that their offense is structured.
Yeah, we knew coming into this game that Geno was going to force balls down the field. Looking back at all the film, you know, he throws a great vertical ball. I mean, as you can see last night, a lot of those balls were perfect throws. I mean, you couldn't get any better coverage. And, you know, with a playmaker like that, you just got to have your technique down to a T. And, you know, you got to give your hats off to Geno.
You guys go into meetings, in an hour or so to look at the video? 11?
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
What do you think that's going to be like with Coach Henderson today? I mean, and you've been in this before, but is it yelling and screaming? Is it corrections? Is it instruction? What's the atmosphere like?
You know, each coach is different. I've dealt with two depends about coaches. And for the most part, I noticed that the screaming and yelling doesn't really help at all. These guys know that we're hurting inside. And they know that we wish we had a better performance, but at the same time, they know that we tried our hardest. They know we didn't go out there half speed. They know we didn't just go out there and give them 80% of our effort. They know we gave them our all. With Donnie, I mean, he's just going to explain how we could have done it better. I mean, there won't be any screaming or yelling. Really just coaching us and teaching us how to bounce back from a difficult week like this.
Until you get in that meeting, I have a feeling you won't know the answer to this question, but what do you think the future holds for you, like the immediate future, not knowing, you know, Leota's status yet and the rest of it? Corner, safety, what do you think?
I honestly couldn't, like you said, I couldn't answer that until we hit the meetings, but I'm pretty sure I'll be back at safety. I think we have the utmost respect for the guys we have behind Leota's, and like I said, I trust those guys. I mean, they work just like we do, day in and day out, and as long as they keep working and improve themselves this week during practice, I don't see why I have to go back at corner.
And it strikes me how you sat in that chair with us way back in the spring, and I could tell you weren't happy about the move to safety. You've embraced the safety position now, haven't you? You kind of like it, don't you?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, just the fact that it keeps me in the open field, not worried about one person. I can actually read the quarterback and read his eyes and move around the field and be around the ball more. And I feel like a cornerback, you're isolated from the ball until that ball is thrown to you. Last night, it was funny that I told Leota, I mean, I felt really helpless out there. Like, I felt I couldn't help my team out trying to get interceptions. I mean, you can't do anything if they don't throw your way.
Whereas safety, you can...
Safety, you're in the run game, you're in the pass game. You know, you read quarterback, you can make... You could take chances, you could gamble sometimes. And, you know, last night I just had to cover my guy, and I felt really helpless. But, you know, my guys did a great job of trying to...
6-7 months ago, could you ever imagine you'd feel that way about the safety position?
Not at all.
What changed?
Oh, man, just my confidence is really high being a safety. And then now going at cornerback, just letting the coaches know that I'm really versatile, that, you know, I can go both ways. If you need me at cornerback or a safety, you know, anytime you need me at any position, I'm there to make plays. I'm there. I'm going to give you my all. You're going to have to drag me off the field before, you know, any kind of situation like last year happened again.
Aaron, best of luck to you. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Aaron Williams stopping by our studio this Monday morning. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We'll get back to your calls in a moment. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Again, we want to thank Aaron Williams for joining us. I have to say I'm amazed at how he is adapted to that safety role, embraced the safety role. He was not happy in the spring when they told him that's where he was moving. And then yesterday, without warning, without any reps at the position, they throw him in at corner when Leota's went down. Pretty unbelievable. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Mondays. We're here 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then we're back again 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., leading you into Monday Night Football tonight. Monday night game is Oakland and Denver tonight. And that's what we do on Mondays on the show. So make sure if you miss today's show, you can listen to portions of this plus some updates with Doug Marrone coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock. Hey, Bills fans, as you know, now is your chance. Your voice counts this season. Don't forget to vote for the Bills Player of the Week, powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Bills. Voting is open, and it's open every morning after each Bills game. The winning player will be announced here on the John Murphy Show tomorrow night, Tuesday nights. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com/POTW or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to learn more. And if you click on the battery at the bottom of the webpage, fill out the information, you become eligible to win exclusive Bills giveaways and prizes throughout the season. Vote now. The Blue Rock Energy Bills Player of the Game. It is a fan vote. We will announce the winner tomorrow. Let's get some phone calls in here. Thanks for waiting patiently. Marty in Allegheny. Hi, Marty. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. How you doing?
Okay.
First, you know, I understand EJ is a rookie, and I don't want to pile on him. And I really, you know, I think he's playing pretty well, except for obviously yesterday. I just don't think the coaches are putting him in a position to win. Sometimes, like on a 3rd and 4, they're running a 15-yard out or a 15-yard go route down the sideline, and on like a long 3rd and 9, they're running a third like a out or a short pass for a 5-yard gain. Why aren't they taking advantage of some of the passes in the middle like the Chandler for the touchdown or the long pass to Woods down the middle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when things don't go well offensively, everything is called into question. I don't have a problem so much with play calling. I heard people this morning complaining about play calling. You know, as it, because that's what you're saying is a different play call will equal success. And I don't believe that. I think execution equals success. Yes, you need to be in the right call at the right time. You need to call the right things. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. And a different play call, whether it's passes down the middle or whatever, does not necessarily guarantee success. I think they have put EJ in good situations. I don't think over the three games this year they've asked him to do a lot. I mean, there weren't a whole lot of long passes dialed up in the first two games. They did more of it yesterday. The problem offensively that I saw, and I want to go back and look at the game, haven't had a chance to do that, when they're not running the ball effectively and the Jets can tee off and blitz EJ Manuel, that's when the problems came about. And I think they really need to run the ball effectively on the early downs or at any point for that matter. Again, you take away the Fred Jackson run and there was nothing in the run game for the Bills yesterday. I think it puts undue pressure on EJ Manuel. We'll see. Here is Sean in Dallas. Hi, Sean. You're on the air.
Hang on, Phyllis.
Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, John. Yeah. Okay, 2 points. You know, I think we looked outmatched yesterday. To me, the defense, the Jets defense killed us. We had no chance to breathe at all, number one. Point number two, to me, C.J. Spiller just looks frustrated. I don't know if the running game fits his style. I've heard other people mention this, but I would like to look back at what the Bills did last year with CJ and kind of go back into that, because this year's running game doesn't seem to fit his style.
In what way?
I mean, he's running into the line, it seems like, every time. There's no hope. I don't know. I can't compare what they did last year to this year because I don't have memory, but it seemed like they were doing more stretch plays for CJ to let him find a hole and hit it. Right now, I mean, as soon as they give him the ball, he's in the line, and there's nowhere for him to run.
Yeah, I mean, there were places for him to run the week before, you'd have to agree, right? I mean, the week before against Carolina, C.J. picked up yardage and had big holes to run through, you know, 103 yards on the ground.
He did. He had that 46-yard run.
Yep.
But then after that, you know, he kind of, you know, still the same thing. I think he had success last week, yes. Not taking that away, but he did have a 46-yard run. And we're used to seeing C.J. bust off some big runs from time to time. It just doesn't seem like it's in sync right now, that just like it has been in the past, I guess.
Yeah, well, it certainly was not yesterday. No question about that, Sean. And, you know, they got to get it fixed, obviously. They have to find a way to run the ball consistently and effectively. And over the three games, with just one win in those three games, I would say that probably is the biggest problem they have offensively, not E.J. Manuel. You are dealing with a rookie quarterback who will have bumps in the road and ups and downs and a serious down game for E.J. Manuel yesterday. But mostly, I believe, because of the lack of support from the running game. They're a team that has to run the ball well to be effective, and they have not done that consistently over the first three games. I don't know that it's the design of the offense. I think they can run out of what they do offensively. They had a different set in there yesterday. I mean, they're trying stuff. They had a two-back set with Fred and CJ in the lineup, and then Fred and Tashard Choice in the lineup. So they're trying stuff. They're trying to see how it works. They're trying to create problems for the opposing defense, but there wasn't a whole lot of execution up front on the offensive line, and they're up against a really tough run defense. Muhammad Wilkerson is a really good player. I think the rookie Sheldon Richardson has the potential to be a really good player. The linebackers know what they're doing, David Harris in particular. You know, all of these sound lame excuses now, but they just weren't able to run the ball yesterday. It is a problem. I don't know if you scrap the offense or go back to the drawing board because of yesterday, but certainly there are some tweaks to be made and some execution to be sharpened up as they move forward. All right, that's hour one of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Coming up in hour two, Chris Brown's going to join us at the top of the hour to talk about what went down in the locker room, the Bills players in the locker room moments ago, and we'll hear from E.J. Manuel from the locker room today, his thoughts on his performance yesterday. Joe Biscaglia will give us his thoughts from the sideline coming up at the bottom of the hour, and, of course, your phone calls to come as well. One more hour to go, the John Murphy Show, the Monday edition, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium, and that's only the half of it.
He's going to the house. He's doing it again. My man, touchdown Buffalo.
Of all the dramatic
things I've ever seen.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
So being able to go out there and move, you know what I'm saying, get the herky jerk back.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Brought to you by Northwest Savings Bank. It's time to make the switch to Northwest. Jan Smoke Shops, hitting you between the uprights, now open 24 hours. And by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York, the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills, reminds you, healthy changes everything.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour 2 of the John Murphy Show, the Monday edition, where we go 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then we're back again at 7 o'clock tonight. Replaying some of the elements of today's show and then including updates. And the update today will be important, coming from head coach Doug Marrone. He'll meet with the media and give us an update on the injuries a little bit later on this afternoon. We're live at One Bills Drive. We will get back to your phone calls, but injuries are going to be the story of the day. So we brought in a guy who is just out, fresh out of the Buffalo Bills locker room where the players are finished talking. Chris Brown joins us, the lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com. And I know why you came by today, Chris. It's because later tonight, you know that dinner will be provided by Ilio DiPaolo's, and you have a guilty conscience. You've been eating the Ilio's every Monday.
I enjoy Dennis's food. I'm not going to make any mistake about it. It's been phenomenal.
It's been unbelievable. Dinner tonight for the digital media department, courtesy of Ilio DiPaolo's restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or takeout, it's a Buffalo Bills tradition since 1965. Visit them after the game. They're at 3785 South Park Avenue in Blaisdell. See how I worked in that commercial read?
I like the personal touch they apply there. I mean, they've got your name right on your dinner.
Isn't that nice?
That is impressive, I got to say.
Cool.
They do a good job with that.
Chris Brown joins us just out of the Buffalo locker room, where players are talking a little bit about the injuries, what they know of them, and what did you learn about C.J. Spiller?
Well, we did get an update from C.J. He was the only player that suffered an injury in Sunday's game that was actually in the locker room here this morning. And he was up front about where he stands and pretty much gave us an outlook as to what's going to happen for him in terms of a forecast leading into Sunday's game.
A little sore, but you know, shouldn't be nothing that will keep me out this week. Should be feeling better day by day, but just taking it slow. Just a little sore right now.
Did you get a little twisted up in the pile, or what happened?
Yeah, I tried to go back and look at it this morning, and that's the only thing I can think of, because it happened, I want to say, the play right before we hit Woods on the big 30-yard gain, because I felt it when I was running down limping. So that's the only time I can think of that's when it happened. So we tried to look at it, but couldn't really get a good shot or see exactly what happened, but I know that was the play.
Was there a question? Were you trying to go back in? You had your helmet on. You know, you were on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But was there a decision that had to be made, or whether or not you could go back in?
Yeah. I mean, starting that second half, you know, I want to try to give it a go and see how it would feel. You know, the biggest thing, we're just going to try to keep it loose. And I went out there, and right before, I told Fred, you know, if I don't look like myself, you know, come get me out of the game. And I just felt like I couldn't get no power, that explosiveness that I could off my leg. And ultimately, I just came out of the game because, to me, I'm not going to put my team in jeopardy of hurting them. And then also, I have to protect myself. So the best thing for me to do was to swallow my pride at that moment and let my other guys go in there and fight.
Running back C.J. Spiller moments ago in the Buffalo Bills locker room talking to Chris Brown, among others. Chris is joining us. What are we talking about, a knee sprain type thing?
Yeah, he didn't characterize or describe the injury, but he said he expects to be ready to play on Sunday. He was limping in the locker room. He's sore today, and he said as much. You heard him there. He said he thinks it happened on the 1st-and-10 play at their own 31-yard line with 5:50 left in the second quarter, right before the big pass play to Robert Woods. He ran, had a loss of one on the carry. I just watched it on the condensed broadcast film of the game, and it looks pretty innocent, to be honest with you. He doesn't get twisted up in any kind of awkward fashion, but he does get piled up. One of the defensive linemen stones him at the line of scrimmage, drives him back, and then there's two Jets defenders that pile on the end of the play. CJ got up slowly, went to the sideline after that, didn't play the rest of that first half, and then, as he said, he tried to come back in the second half, had one carry for no gain, and then that was it for the day. 5 of his 10 carries went for no gain or loss of yardage yesterday, and he was also talking today about how he came to find out that the Jets actually wanted him to run east-west, not north-south. And he said by the time he realized it was better to just go north-south, try to get a yard or two and make the best of it, he had already had the knee injury and his day was pretty much done. And he actually credited Fred with being better at diagnosing an opponent's game plan as the game is unfolding a little bit better than him.
Interesting.
And he said, you know, that's something that he's got to get a better handle on. He eventually did, but with the knee injury, he didn't really get a chance to kind of try to counter what the Jets were trying to do.
Chris Brown, our guest, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com, just out of the Bills locker room, which just closed up to the media about 10 minutes ago. No sign of the other injured guys, McKelvin or Carrington or Marcel Darius?
No, they weren't in there. Can only assume they were getting treatment, so right. It looks like we're going to have to wait for Coach Marone on those guys. One thing that CJ did say, you know, you heard him talk about how he felt he didn't have any explosion to drive and cut off of that knee. So I asked him, I said, obviously that's the test on Wednesday, is it not? And he said, yeah, I have to make sure that I have the explosion and I can drive off of that leg effectively. But he said he has all the faith in the world that treatment over the next 2 days is going to bring him around to the point where he feels it's going to be back to where it was. And, you know, he seems to be a pretty good guy in getting a handle on his own body. We remember last year he had that shoulder injury against Cleveland. We thought he was going to be out for 2 or 3 weeks, and he said, nope, I'm going to be fine with treatment. And sure enough, he was and didn't look to be any different in terms of a running back. Now, a knee's a little bit different story. You got to have your wheels, but
right.
He seems pretty confident that he's going to be okay at the end of the week.
With McKelvin's injury is interesting, and it really puts pressure on an already depleted defensive back court. Do they have to make a roster move? I mean, we don't know how bad Liotis is, but he couldn't finish.
And you say to yourself, well, they've got Brandon Burton on the roster, and they got Johnny Adams called up from the practice squad, but it's pretty clear to us, I think, that they don't have a whole lot of faith in those guys because they didn't want to put them on the field yesterday, and I understand why. This is a coach's mindset. You've never seen them in a live game that counts in the win-loss column, and coaches by nature are very hesitant to throw guys out there that they haven't seen in the live game setting, even in a preseason game. These guys weren't here in the preseason for the coaches to see, all right, what's this guy like in a game situation? And I think that's why they're hesitant to throw them on the field. But then you go back to what Coach Marone said just 2 weeks ago. He says they're a team with the philosophy of promoting from within, grooming young players, and then putting them on the field to make things happen. He may not have any other choice unless they choose, he and Doug Whaley, to go the route of veteran free agent. Now, I know it's probably been brought up a couple of times on your show already. Terrence McGee is a guy that's still out there. He has an injury history, but he's healthy now. You know, they've been
has been working out
today with the Miami Dolphins. Just finished it this morning. We'll have to see how that thing goes, but it might be too little too late if the Bills wanted to go that route. I know there had been some off-season conversations. They were kind of monitoring where he was, but it didn't seem like they were all that interested in him. It seems like this coaching staff and this personnel department prefers long, tall corners on the boundary to make plays on the football. Now,
they may not have that luxury.
You beggars can't be choosers at this point in time, but it's going to be interesting to see how things play out, and it would probably hurt to see McGee in a Dolphins uniform, especially knowing how shorthanded you are at the position right now.
Chris, I was in there before 10, before we came on the air, when E.J. Manuel spoke with the media. He had very little to offer in terms of explanations. He had not looked at the video yet from yesterday's game. I mean, it's not all on his shoulders, but clearly he struggled badly yesterday.
He did. I mean, 5 of his passes yesterday landed out of bounds. I mean, you're not even giving your receiver a chance to make a play when you do that. And I think some of his footwork needs some attention here.
Did you ask him that? Somebody asked him.
I didn't ask him about his footwork. Another reporter did, and he didn't say his footwork was a problem.
And again, he can't tell till he looks at the video.
Right. And at the same time, when you've got 8 guys in your face, it's hard to step into a throw also. But we know from the preseason and from, you know, OTAs and training camp how integral the timing of his footwork is with the routes that are being run. And obviously all of that was disrupted with the pass pressure that was going on yesterday. And he was forced to throw off his back foot a lot. He had to make some arm throws where his lower body wasn't involved at all. And I think that speaks to some of the inaccuracy we saw with the ball location and it drifting over the sidelines and out of bounds.
Last question for you. It's a bad loss, a tough loss, and the offense struggled badly. There are some callers who want to scrap everything offensively. We're not at that stage yet, and you can't do that after 3 weeks.
No, I don't think you can. And I think the biggest thing that's come out of this game is opponents now have the model. because now that EJ has been blitzed and blitzed heavily, that's going to be the model going forward. It's a copycat league. Yeah. The Ravens know how to load the box, and they certainly know how to blitz. They got Terrell Suggs and Doomerville now on the other side. That's going to be a tough row to hoe on all fronts, even though you are on your home field this weekend. And they got to make plays. They got to come up with ways to get the ball out of EJ's hand to beat blitz. And I think a little bit is on the receivers, too, because you got young guys in T.J. Graham and Robert Woods, and I don't know that they're fully equipped with getting off of press quickly at the NFL level. Stevie Johnson and Scott Chandler are your only guys that were able to show consistent separation early in their routes to give EJ an option 2 or 3 seconds into his drop when he had to get rid of the football.
Marquise Goodwin is missed, special teams-wise and offensively.
He was a guy that did get consistent separation early in his routes, and he's also the guy that's going to force DBs to back off him or they're going to get burned deep, and that helps him also to run those underneath slants and crossing patterns to be available for EJ as an option if he's getting blitzed and he has the kitchen sink coming at him.
Chris, thanks. Go back to work.
You got it.
Chris Brown, the lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com. You can catch his work at BuffaloBills.com, and there'll be stuff up there today, reports from the locker room already.
The
CJ update is up there right now at BuffaloBills.com, and Coach Marone will meet with the media later today, and those comments will also be up at BuffaloBills.com. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, the Monday morning edition. We're here Mondays between 10 a.m. and 12 noon during the football regular season, and then we come back again 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock tonight, taking you into Monday Night Football. We've got time for phone calls with Joe Biscaglia scheduled to join us a little bit later on in this hour. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Tim in Cheektowaga. Hi, Tim. You're on the air. Hello, Tim. Tim, are you gone? I believe he is gone. Let's go to Russ in Buffalo.
Hi, John.
How are you?
Listen, you know, I watched the game over again this morning, and, you know, they didn't run any draws. They couldn't slow down, obviously, the blitz. They didn't run no draws. They didn't run any screen plays to try to, you know, slow down this rush a little bit. And, you know, I think maybe the read option should have been ran a little bit more just to back them up, because he seemed to, when he needed to take off, he'd get 4 or 5 yards at a smash. But, I mean, no draws, no screens. I'm a little surprised at that.
Yeah. I mean, nothing worked, really. Nothing worked offensively for the Bills. Screen passes did not appear to be a big part of the game plan yesterday. Jason in Chicago. Hello, Jason. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm curious what your estimate is on this question I'm going to give you. I'm thinking, as a Bills fan, I know it's a very young team and a new coaching staff, but with yesterday's game, and I usually measure the Bills over the past several years and how they look after they play the Jets, because the games are usually pretty ugly on the Bills side after it. Do you think, with the upcoming schedule, they're going to play a couple teams, obviously, like Miami and Cleveland and Cincinnati, who have very good defenses like they just faced in the Jets, and then they're going to face some good offenses in the end of the schedule with, like, New Orleans and Atlanta. What part of the Bills team do you expect to improve? Do you expect their defense to improve over the next 7-8 weeks, or do you expect their offense to improve? Because if neither one of them improve over the whole season, I can't say that this team looks like it's on the upside.
Yeah, well, yeah, if they play the way – I think what you're saying is if they play the way they played yesterday, they're not on the upside or the upswing. I don't think anyone would dispute that. I don't think they'll continue to play that way. We gotta sort through the injuries first, and that's where we are on this Monday morning, Jason. And again, we'll know a little bit later on this afternoon when Doug Marone talks a little bit more about where they are with the injuries. I mean, is McKelvin going to be ready to play? Is Marcell Dareus healthy? Is Alex Carrington healthy? Is Mario Williams healthy? Some people saw him limping around after the game yesterday. I did not see that. If you can answer that question for me, I'd be able to answer your question a little bit more coherently. I do think this defense, I know this defense is better than they played yesterday, and that was the big chunks of yardage that hurt yesterday, the fact that they were down to, you know, the last few players in the secondary. They did not generate a lot of pass rush yesterday, which was a problem. I would look for the defense to improve significantly and to get to back to where they were the first week or two of the season, and better than they were in the first week or two of the season. I think they needed to be better against the run after the first 2 weeks, and certainly that was the case again yesterday. with Bilal Powell running as well as he did against the Bills. So I would look for the greatest improvement to come on the defensive side of the ball. I think with a rookie quarterback, there are going to be ups and downs, and it was a serious down yesterday for E.J. Manuel. And, you know, I think as you look at a season and look at, you know, you're starting a rookie first year in the NFL, you anticipate there are going to be some big bumps in the road, and that was a huge one yesterday. As I said earlier in the show, I hope that's as bad as it gets for E.J. Manuel and the offense, but who knows? There might be a couple of clunkers down the road. Dan in Angola. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
John, to me, the offensive line just got beat bad, you know. I mean, they couldn't stop anything. They couldn't get the run going. And the defensive line, I didn't see any blitzes, no pressure on their quarterback. I mean, their quarterback just sat back 5-6 yards and shot it down the field, which he knew that was our weakness. And you know, that was totally it. The two lines were just not there. I mean, they just whipped us.
Outplayed. You're right. Offensive and defensive lines. Carl and Clarence, you're on the air, Carl.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Okay.
You know, for the preseason and the first couple of games, I think that a lot of us were talking about the fact that the major difference in this team since a long, long time has been the fact that they were pro-action instead of reactionary. Yesterday, it all reverted back to reaction. You know, it seemed like they just had our playbook almost, and it seems hard to believe that this could all revert back to this in one short week. Could the Jets actually be better than we think they are?
I tell you what, Geno Smith was better than I thought he was in that sense. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. I agree, unless we just made him look good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I went, you know, I watched both Jets games. Many Bills fans did going into that one, and I was not impressed with Geno Smith. I had smart football people like Mark Kelso tell me that there's something there, and they were right. There is something there. The ability to stand in the pocket and scan the field and find open receivers downfield, deep downfield, that was big, yeah. And that was something that I didn't see from Geno Smith in those first few games.
I did him a few favors. They weren't that strong, that's for sure. But, right. I mean, his passes were pretty crisp. They were leading passers. It wasn't like these guys had to come back on the ball or anything. So I was impressed. But boy, I can't understand how everything could take such a tumble backwards in one short week. We look so good against Carolina.
All right. Thanks very much, Carl. Yeah. I mean, that's the NFL. I mean, really, that's the NFL. And as poorly as the Bills played yesterday, they lost by 7. That's the NFL, too. It really is. I mean, sometimes you think, oh, what a great competitive league this is. And what was it going into yesterday's games? 66% of all games played in the first 2 weeks of the season were decided by 7 points or less. 2/3 of the games decided by 7 points or less, which means it's very close. What they don't keep stats on is how many of those games are, you know, showcases of ineptitude. And if you look at a Jets team that had 20 penalties and basically allowed the Bills to stay within 7 points by virtue of their own stupidity and their own penalties, that's, you know, that's not quantified in a stat anywhere. But that's the flip side to all these close games. Yeah, that was a close game yesterday, but it was not, I think, by anybody's measure, a well-played game by either team. Jets can point to stuff they did. They hit some deep passes. They kept the pressure on a rookie quarterback. Yeah, they did that well. They did a lot of other things poorly, including take the penalties and you know, just didn't play well, I don't think, in many respects. But, you know, there it is. And that's the flip side of the parity in the NFL. Sometimes it's parity because neither team is playing well. I think that would be the case in that game yesterday. Paul in Amherst. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Hi, Murph. How you doing, bud?
Okay.
I just have a question, and if I could ask this and then make a quick comment, I'd appreciate it. There was that drive in the fourth quarter where it was third down, we threw an incompletion, and the Jets had two penalties against them. They had a holding penalty, and they had an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. I don't know if anyone noticed, but they never marked off the yardage. And I want to know if that's just a rule that I'm not understanding or if the referee just screwed up. And my comment was...
But now, before you move on, I think this is what you might be confused. The unsportsmanlike conduct was against the Bills, taunting. It was a defensive holding against the Jets.
It was after that. So the Jets had two penalties on them, and they didn't mark off either one.
All right. I see. I'm looking at the play-by-play sheet. There was a first down play where Kyle Wilson got a personal foul, and Richardson got a legal use of hands, which was declined. They, you know, two against the Jets. And they did mark off 5 yards on that play.
Oh, because we rewound it. It was, like, we had a third down at the 30, and after the penalty, we were still at the 30. So we were, me and my friend were just going crazy.
I'll go back and look at it. I'll go back. I don't see it on the play-by-play, and I know that that was a messy, that's what I was talking about a minute ago, about how poor the play was. That fourth quarter, and it was a scoring drive for the Bills, but that was as ugly as it gets in the NFL. That one drive with the Jets, you know, undisciplined and you know, just doing dumb things, and the Bills weren't a whole lot better, but they marched it down the field. I'll go back and look at that, though.
It was tough to watch, Murph. Oh, yeah. My comment is, I expected this. Both quarterbacks are rookies, and I'll guarantee you at the end of the year, when Geno Smith comes to Buffalo, he is not going to have the same game he had at home, and E.J. is going to play better than he did on the road. I mean, we're a young team. We're not going to the Super Bowl this year. I just want to get better.
Yeah. All right. That's, I think, a realistic standpoint. A couple of rookie quarterbacks. You know, 8 weeks away, the Jets come here on November 17th. Who knows what these teams are going to look like at that point, really? I mean, who knows how these injuries are going to play out for the Bills? Who knows how Geno Smith's year is going to play out, where E.J. Manuel is in 2 months? I think it's safe to say that there are going to be ups and downs for both of them. Geno had his serious downs, you know, the week before, 10 days earlier, against the Patriots. And E.J., I think, has hit the bottom in his young NFL career right now after the Bills game yesterday. So who knows where they'll be in 8 weeks. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Joe Biscaglia will join us in the next couple of minutes. He's down on the sidelines as our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. We'll get his take from the sideline view and his take from the locker room where the Bills players were in there up until about 25 minutes ago. We've got time for your phone calls as well. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us always on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We're here until noon today, then we're back again from 7 to 8 o'clock, and then it's Monday Night Football. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO Monday mornings. We're here 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and we replay parts of this and added to it 7 o'clock tonight before the Monday Night Football game. Joining us in studio now in our One Bills Drive studio, our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network, Joe Biscaglia. Joe, thank you very much for coming by.
Yeah, no problem, Murph.
I just said that I made this point on the air a moment ago. When you take everything into consideration, the penalties, the sloppy play, the poor execution, that was really as bad as the NFL gets that game yesterday.
It was not pleasant by any means. I mean, you sit there and watch some of these games that are these high-scoring shootout affairs. You know, Cincinnati-Green Bay yesterday had to be so much fun to watch, 34-31. But then you see the penalties and the team that had 20 penalties, ended up winning that game. You know, it's just, it wasn't a great look for offenses anywhere.
And I don't imagine that they're feeling much better about it in New York, Jets fans. Yeah, they won a game, but they're probably thinking, how did we win that game?
They did have 500-plus yards of total offense, but at the same, and, you know, Geno Smith kind of answered a few of his critics, maybe even inside the building, who were, you know, maybe rumbling that Matt Sims could potentially get a little start here, but I think, you know, they did very well in converting third downs early on in the game, and then the Bills kind of stopped them, which was, you know, one of the few positives I thought the Bills had coming from last night's game, and certainly it helped them get back into the game.
You know, and I don't know how to phrase this. The quarterback, I think, is going to be intriguing, E.J. versus Geno, and I hope they both have good, long careers. And I think this is a good start to what should be a pretty good rivalry between two, you know, quarterbacks separated by, what, one full, almost a full draft class? I mean, a full draft, you know, 32 picks is what I'm trying to say. The fact that Geno got the win and outplayed E.J., I think, sets it up well moving into the future, at least in the immediate future.
Sure, and when they meet again later on in the year, that should be a compelling storyline, because then we'll see Geno Smith on the road in that type of environment.
And yeah.
I don't know that the noise or anything really got to E.J. Manuel. I don't think that's an issue for him after playing so many big time stadiums in college. But At the same time, maybe it gives the Jets defense a little bit more confidence when they're hearing their crowd behind them, and maybe that's putting them a little extra pep in their step when they're going after and loading the box with eight guys. So yeah, yep. I think it should set up for a solid second edition.
You were down there on the sidelines. It appeared to be thousands of empty seats there at MetLife Stadium. The noise could not have been that overwhelming, I wouldn't think, even down there in the field, right?
It got loud. It yeah. definitely did get loud. There were certain spots where it did, but I noticed, and I took a picture of the crowd, a little panoramic picture, and I sent it to my friends. And I'm like, this is 16 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
There's no one here.
Nobody there.
But, it eventually kind of filled in, but they still had a bunch of empty seats. At the same time, I will say it did get a little loud down there.
You were on the sidelines when EJ came off, and I'm sure he went right to the pictures and sat down and talked with Nate Hackett upstairs.
Yep.
Tell me about EJ's demeanor and how he seemed to be handling such a difficult day down there.
Immediately on the headset. Yeah. He ran over to the bench and started, like you said, started flipping through the pictures and their point man down on the sidelines, who communicates the play to EJ's helmet. He was over there with him trying to go through exactly what happened out there. So, his demeanor, it didn't really seem as though he was as poised as in weeks past. And it would be hard for him just because, he hasn't seen in the NFL anyway, a defense come at him and not slow up. At the like the Bills defense did in training camp, to actually come with the mindset of hitting him and taking him down. I think Jeremy White, our morning show host, said he was hit on one third of his dropbacks in that game, which is an amazing statistic. I mean, when he had 42 throws and to get hit, what would it be? I'm terrible with math right now, but
don't ask me.
Yeah. It just that's a lot of hits to take as a rookie quarterback,
and when
they're loading the box and he can't really make the throws down the field that they needed to kind of back the Jets off, it was just a recipe for disaster yesterday.
And they did want to make throws down the field. After the first two games, when they didn't take too many shots downfield, it seemed like part of yesterday's game plan was to take those deep shots.
The Jets were begging them to.
Yeah,
I mean, they were loading the box, and they put one-on-one matchups outside, and EJ's just got to hit the throws. That's what it boils down to. I mean, there were too many times where he threw it out of bounds when there was an opportunity to make a play down there, and he hit one to Stevie Johnson. Stevie made a very nice play to keep his feet in bounds. It was more of a, Stevie kind of came back for it, but they did hit one of those, but he's just got to be able to do that on a more consistent level, or else teams are. And I found this funny because I remember back when the Ryan Fitzpatrick-led Bills were really rolling hot and the offense was great, the team that kind of put out the blueprint on them was the Jets.
Yeah.
And so now the EJ Manuel and the Bills have to overcome that philosophy of defenses saying, okay, just play them up front, just send the house at them and make them beat you deep.
And it strikes me as you say that amid all the bluster and all the jokes and the baloney and the let's go eat a snack, Rex Ryan, at his core, is a really good, solid defensive coach. And you give him 10 days to get ready for a rookie quarterback, that's kind of a big advantage for the Jets.
Now 7-1, lifetime as a head coach against rookie quarterbacks. The only loss came against Russell Wilson last year, made Andrew Luck look pedestrian last year. Rex Ryan is a very talented defensive mind, like you said. And let's not forget, he's got some studs up front. Muhammad Wilkerson is an absolute beast. And he had, I think, 6 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, a forced fumble. He was just—he was everywhere.
Sheldon Richardson.
Good. I mean, snacks. Talk about snack. Yeah. Snacks. he was pretty good. And DeMario Davis is a very good inside linebacker.
Well, let's flip it to the other side of the ball. We're talking with Joe Biscaglia, our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network, in a difficult day in the secondary, which was made really bad when Leotis McKelvin went down. Extremely thin back there. Were you surprised that they moved Aaron Williams up to play corner?
No, they needed to. I mean, it was either that or you're putting Nickell Roby on the outside, which puts him at a disadvantage, and you're putting Jim Leonard into the slot as your de facto nickel.
Yeah.
And I think Mark Kelso might have pointed out in the broadcast, at that point you'd have to kind of delve into zone coverage a lot because Leonard can't stay with Jeremy Curley. It's just impossible. So, I think it was the right play. Williams, I think, held his own as the corner. It was a really tough day for Justin Rogers on the opposite side, as we all know. But yeah, I think that was the right play because it's obvious they don't have trust in either Brandon Burton or Johnny Adams at this point.
You know, last Wednesday when Mike Patton met the media, our colleague Mark Gaughan asked Patton a question about the Bills' defense, and the question was something like this. You don't back off on all the pressure you're trying to generate, even though the back end is injured and young. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if Mike Patton rethinks that a little bit when you see what happened to Justin Rogers. I mean, they're trying to dial up pressure. They're trying to keep the heat on the opposing quarterback. But you're playing with defensive backs who maybe can't handle one-on-one coverage on a consistent basis.
I think Marrone kind of alluded to it in his post-game press conference. Marrone basically said maybe we have to, you know, rethink the way we do things or something like that. We just have to go in and develop a strategy for going forward, because he admitted that they felt thin at cornerback and for obvious reasons. I mean, Stephon Gilmore's out. Now Leotis McKelvin is out. We don't know the severity of the injury just yet. Marrone talks at 2 o'clock, but if you don't have either of those two guys, then you're left with Justin Rogers and Aaron Williams as your likely starting corners. And Ron Brooks is still out, too. So right. There's another guy that you could have put in there to maybe even take some snaps, take some heat off guys. So, yeah, that might be a change in mindset for this defense, just to, I guess, really self-preservation at this point, because you can't go on doing the same things if you're going to have the same result again and again. And, you know, Joe Flacco can throw the ball deep.
Yes, he can.
And Torrey Smith can run real fast. And, you know, that matchup kind of scares me a little bit.
Joe, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Murph.
Joe Biscaglia, our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. We'll take a break, get back to your phone calls when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Mondays, we're here 10 a.m. to 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, and then back again at 7 o'clock. We'll have Doug Marrone's comments today coming up on the 7 o'clock version of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. A couple of minutes left here. We'll get to your phone calls. But just a few minutes ago, E.J. Manuel met with the media in the Buffalo locker room and talked about his rough day yesterday. Here is E.J. Manuel's comments this morning.
I haven't looked at the tape yet. I will right after this. But just off the thoughts from last night, just overall, just try to pick up on those all-out blitzes and things like that. And not necessarily pick it up, but try to, you know, handle the situations the best we can.
Was that the first? I mean, how new or unique was that blitz in your career? Have you had opponents go after you like that before?
Yeah, I mean, they're tough. You know, credit to them again. I mean, you know, they give up 2.4 yards a rush. So, you know.
Well, our defense does something similar to that, and they did a lot of it in the OTAs and things. So, just a matter of trying to make a play down the field, you know, when you have one-on-one matchups like that in the secondary.
There were quite a few throws that seemed to land out of bounds where you didn't give your receivers much of a chance. Was that – what do you attribute that problem to?
Yeah, just got to get better at that.
Is that a footwork thing, or is it
– I can't say if it's a footwork thing. Just got to throw the ball in bounds, give him a chance.
Coming off a big game like you did against Carolina and then to go into this game, and it's not all on you, but what is your mood and how do you maintain an even keel knowing that, I mean, this was a pretty big lesson from
saying transitioning from last week into yesterday? I mean, we got past the win. We were all excited, obviously, that we won. You know, anytime you win, you're going to be excited about it, but we understood we had another game to play, and we got ourselves in position to get close and win the game. They scored again and we didn't, so that's the difference in it.
How do you handle a loss, like any loss, but last night, do you pick a couple of moments of the game to keep replaying in your mind of, if I had that one back, it would have been different?
Yeah, definitely. There's always a few plays where you like, hey, I wish I had that back, I wish I had that throwback. But like I said, the best thing is to learn from it, move forward. It's a long season. We got 13 games and try to get into this playoff run, so we're not going to lose sight of that. We'll just continue to move forward and get better.
E.J. Manuel meeting with the media about 45 minutes or an hour ago as he gets ready to go in to look at video. They're probably looking at video right now. Hey, the votes are in for this week's Billsgating Fans of the Week presented by Salins. This week's prize pack winner is Rory Parker. and his tailgate. And while you're tailgating or watching the game, remember to take photos of your Salins-inspired tailgate. Upload them at BuffaloBills.com to enter the weekly contest. The winners, as voted by the fans, will be announced every week here on our Monday show. So get in the game for a chance to win the grand prize. Salins, official hot dog and deli meat of the Buffalo Bills. Time for a couple of phone calls here. Let's go to Kenny and Dunker. Kenny, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Okay.
I just want to make a comparison to last year's team. I think that game could have got out of control if we still had Gailey running it. It could have been looking like San Francisco, where it was just an all-out blowout. And I think we'll be fine once we get, you know, Gilmore and McKelvin back in the back end and Bird to help out.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, the difference being obviously the Niners were a pretty good team, and I'm not so sure how good the Jets are. And the Jets seem to do everything they could to try to keep the Bills into it yesterday. Tony in Buffalo. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Yeah, I didn't think EJ Manuel played that terrible. He got sacked 8 times. He threw the ball out of bounds 5 times. I have a lot of problems with our receivers. I think Stevie Johnson.
Now turn right.
Stevie Johnson at best is a good number two. EJ. I mean,
TJ.
Graham is terrible. I think it's terrible. Every time I see him run a pattern, the defensive back pins him to the sideline. There's nowhere to throw the ball. And Robert Woods might be a great number one someday. And Buddy Hackett calls it terrible.
Take
game.
The next turn left onto the
All right. All right. Well, get your directions down. I hope you're on. You got to be on hands-free, right, if we're hearing that, right? You got to be on hands-free. Thanks for your call. He called him Buddy Hackett?
Nathaniel Did you call him Buddy Hackett?
Yes. Wait, that one almost got
He's
by
He's combining
me.
Buddy Nixon.
Well, I think
Nathaniel
he meant
Hackett.
I think he meant Buddy Hackett, the comedian. I don't know. I agree with you. The receivers, I think, came up short yesterday. I think, no pun intended, I think the receivers, all of them, came up short. Not getting off jams at the line of scrimmage, not getting open downfield. You'd never know, and it'd be hard, and I haven't looked at the tape again, and even if you did, you'd never really know if they missed sight adjustments that would have helped bail out the EJ on some of the blitzes that he saw. But I do think they need better play from all of the receivers across the board. I think that was a factor in all of those sacks yesterday. Alfredo in Burbank, California. Hello, Alfredo.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I had a quick question. I just don't understand why. I mean, obviously Justin Rogers is in the NFL for a reason, but it just seems since last year and this year, he's just been struggling. And my question to you is, why is he still on the field? You know, he had a terrible game yesterday. And, I mean, I understand that the injuries and whatnot, and they were probably forced to keep him in there, but – I mean, the front office has got to do something about this, and I'll let you take over.
Okay, thanks, Alfredo. It's hard to, you know, right now I'm sure they're scrambling to find corners who can play. Rodgers had a bad game, but he has a lot to offer, I think, and is not. I don't think he's a terrible player. I think he got hung up in some one-on-one situations yesterday. Santonio Holmes is a very talented receiver, and that plays into it as well. I don't think he's a terrible corner. I think, you know, there's room for improvement, no question, and he needs help over there. And it goes to the point we talked with Joe Biscaldi about last segment. You know, maybe they can't play that attacking style of defense and hang their corners out in one-on-one situations as much as they've done in the first 3 weeks. They got away with it for at least one win, and probably got away with it for a couple of weeks thanks to the pressure they put on Tom Brady in week one. But maybe on a consistent basis, that kind of thing will come back to haunt you. And there's this. I mean, it's a Jets team that wants to hit the deep pass. They're set up to hit the deep pass, take big chunks of yardage, and they did. That was their plan. And it's a Jets team that had the benefit of watching two prior Bills games and seeing how the corners were exposed and seeing how the corners were challenged. You know, Leotis McKelvin, before he got hurt, the first couple of games, Leotis was called upon to make a number of plays in single coverage. Maybe the Jets took a look. I'm sure the Jets took a look at that video and said, let's go after these corners. You know, let's go after these guys and see if they can cover. So that plays into it as well. Good question, though. All right, tonight, 7 o'clock, we are back on the air. You'll hear portions of this show, but also we've got updates, and including the all-important injury update from Doug Marrone coming up, 7 to 8 o'clock, right before Monday Night Football, right here on our flagship station, WGR. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer is Tom Reitz, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Join us 7 o'clock tonight for the nighttime edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.